God is good. And all the time. Awesome. Hey, let's try that again. Y'all sounded so good. I want to hear it again. All right. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Good morning. My name is Eric Dirks, and I welcome you to First Church this morning. Thank you so much for your presence on this, what I know is going to be a gorgeous Sunday that we have together. If you would open up your bulletins real quick with me to the announcement section. Today is Lunch Bunch. United Methodist Men are putting it on, and I have a rumor. I hear a rumor, and I know it's not nice to spread rumors, but this is a good rumor. I think they're having fried chicken. Now, when I came in before the 8 o'clock service, it already smelled good. I can't even imagine what it smells like out there now. I don't know. Anybody? Yeah. So, Lunch Bunch right after this right after this worship service. And usually it's about 11:15 or so. And we invite you to come down and be a part of that. It is what this does. It's $6 a person, $15 for family. What a deal, huh? For fresh fried chicken. But what it does, it helps us raise money for our missions. And we call them apportionments in the United Methodist Church. So we invite you to come there and enjoy the fellowship and the food. And there's always great desserts as well. So now remember, next week is Warm House Sunday. And now they will accept non-perishable items anytime. All right, they will accept clothes and such. But next week, the first Sunday of the month, is a Sunday when we especially lift up the Warm House. And we have a big barrel that sits out here for you to put that in, and then we take it over during the week. So please make sure you remember that so that you can come in to worship, drop it in the barrel, and we can take it over later on during the week, typically sometime on Monday. So make sure that you are a part of that ministry. Also, as you come forward next week for Holy Communion, that supports the Benevolence Fund if you choose to give to that. And the Benevolence Fund helps people. For instance, we help people buy gasoline so they can get to doctor's appointments, electric bills, things like that. So I believe everyone was given a, what is this? Okay, well, everyone wants them. Okay, as you leave today, Debbie will give you one of these. Can everyone read it from here? Oh, okay. It is Family Fun Festival is coming up. It's the same weekend as Heritage Days here in town. And last year, it was a great success, a lot of fun. Please make sure that you are a part of that. This is a sheet that, if you want to be involved in any way, this lets them know. And so please make sure that you read this over and, of course, fill out how you want to be involved with that and turn that in. It will be a great time. I know it will. I believe, I think Kenyon's band might play for a little bit in that regard. And my quartet's going to be there for a little bit as well to sing for the church. So make sure that you fill this out. It's a lot of fun that day right out here in the parking lot, correct? Okay. Also, next week is a very special Sunday. I mean, you know, every Sunday is special, isn't it?
Yes.
But I tell you what, the leadership of the church, and I hope you as well, are very excited about next week. Our associate pastor and his wife are showing up, and that will be their first Sunday. Right after service, we're going to have punch and cake and such out here in the entryway. Make sure you stick around and say hello. I'm really excited. I hope you're excited. Make sure you let everyone know and invite your friends so that you can, along with me, welcome Justin and Stacy Grifford to the ministries here at First Church. That is just awesome, and I can't wait for them to get here. Also, don't forget your Cliff Notes. Actually, they're called Study Guide, but since Cliff Soppy creates them, I like to call them Cliff Notes. So this, along with the joys and concerns that are printed in your bulletin, make sure you take those home, keep them beside your prayer chair so that you have a daily prayer and a daily little devotion that you can do just to help you focus on God and have a great day in that regard. Now, if you would turn to the last page of your bulletin, it's a connection card. You may have to fold it back and forth a couple times, but it does tear out. There's a perforation there. Please fill this out. Put your name, address, telephone number on it so that you can, so that we can say thank you so much for worshiping with us. Especially if you're visiting with us, this would be your offering to us. If you would turn this in and so we can greet you properly and say thanks so much for being here today. If you're a regular attender, of course, make sure you fill that out so that we know that you're here. And if you have any concerns or joys that you would like to have in the bulletin next week, make sure that you let us know as well. And then Idella will remind you before the offering to put those in the offering basket as well. Are you ready for an awesome worship service this morning? Are you ready to make it an awesome worship service this morning? All right. Well, let us begin our service today as we have our prelude from Marion and then our songs of praise. Let our worship begin.
Let's all stand now and join the praise team as we sing a couple of praise songs. Put your heart into it.
I think you all know this song. Let's sing it out this morning and get our hearts and minds and souls focused on God.
Like me, I was lost.
Because of your amazing grace, that unending love, Lord, that so many of us have experienced in so many ways. As we come together today, God, as a church family, we ask for your powerful anointing to be upon us. Holy God, we know that you are here, but we want to be deliberate in asking for your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask for your powerful anointing to come among us, to come to wash over us, Lord, to wipe away all of the pain in our life, God, to give us the power and to empower us, God, to understand that you are the Almighty, the Holy, the One who is lifted high. Dear God, we understand that every breath that's in our lungs is a gift from you. We understand that every heartbeat that we have is your gift. And we give you praise today. So wash over us, Lord. May all those dark places in our life be made bright, God. May all those dark corners in our mind and in our soul that we have, may your light shine brightly upon them. And may we understand that we are forgiven if we only ask. Holy God, make all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place because of your powerful presence. And let every breath that we have today give you praise, God. Let every heartbeat beat to your drummer, God. We love you. Make us one with each other and one with you in Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. Amen. All right, as we pick it up here, let's get our hands going. Let every breath, let everything. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Praise God. Please be seated. We have a very special recognition this morning. Would Mary, I should say the Right Reverend Dr. Mary Norton, come forward, please. See, I have to do that because, you know, she's probably irritated with me for doing this, myself and the staff parish, but you know what? I don't care. And that's why I needed a brown nose a little bit at the very beginning there. I tell you what, 3 years ago, whenever I came on board here at First Church, I met with each of the staff and asked exactly what their duties were and such, and whenever it came to Mary's turn, we sat down and we talked, and it sounds kind of corny, and if you've ever been involved in the ministry of a church, you probably understand this, but when she told me what she did and the ministry this church had and the director of Caring Ministries, I literally started crying, because the pastors who care about people who are in the ministry because you want to be with people when they feel like they have no one else, the people that need your presence, and you want to be there, and when you can't be there, that is a very frustrating feeling. And to have a person like Mary, who filled those shoes. She was my right arm and sometimes my right and left arm. As you all know, she has had a wonderful ministry here at First Church. And, you know, she has the audacity to think that she needs to retire and travel. And so we just, the staff parish and myself and the staff here at the church want to just say thank you so very much, Mary. You are amazing. We were in communication 2, 3, 4 times a day on what was going on, and sometimes more than that, right? And
Jamie, are you jealous?
Yeah. You know what? Jamie knew you and I well enough to know that there was no problem there. But
yeah.
So anyway, we just want to take this time to say thank you, Mary. Thank you so very much for your effortless hours, the hours that you went over and aboard, over and above anything that we would ever have expected. Many of the ministries we have in the Caring Ministries program is because of her, the Allies for Angels, the card ministry, the food ministry, and many other things that maybe some I don't even know about, Mary, you know, you just never know. Yeah, she was always thinking about ways that her ministry and the ministry of First Church could improve and connect with people better. And so we just want to take this time to say thank you and God's blessings to you. And I hope that, you know, all your trips to Alaska and wherever else you go are just amazing. Let's give her a hand.
Can I get you in my seat?
Yeah,
he thinks I need a microphone, but I want you all to know that when I got the job, I was really, really scared, and I didn't know what to do. And there's two things I'm good at, and that's praying and talking.
We would have never guessed the talking part.
So when I started different things or when I felt the need for it, you all answered the call. I would call people, and I told them in first service 3 times, I know at least, I was at the hospital. And people was laying in bed with IVs, and they said, what can we do to help Caring Ministries? And they took jobs as soon as they got out of the hospital. So you all are the Caring Ministry group, and I thank you each and everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. We love you. Sorry. There you go.
Thank you, Mary. That's awesome. You've done an awesome job. Okay, it's time for the kids to come on down for Kids Corner. And it will be presented by Penelope Tunkel.
Sing with me.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus. Come on, let's get our hands going. How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do.
I love Jesus. How about you?
Our Father, which art in heaven.
Yes.
Don't interrupt me. I'm praying.
But you called me.
Called you? I didn't call you. I'm praying. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed.
There, you did again.
Did what?
You called me. You said, Our Father, which art in heaven. Well, here I was anyway.
But I didn't mean anything by it. I was, you know, just saying my prayers for the day. I always say the Lord's Prayer. It makes me feel good, you know, like kind of like doing, like getting a duty done.
All right.
Hallowed be thy name, thy...
Holiness. Do you mean that?
By what?
Hallowed be thy name?
It means, good grief, I don't know what it means. How should I know? It's just part of the prayer. By the way, what does it mean?
It means honored, holy, and wonderful.
Hey, that makes sense. I never thought what hallowed meant before. So thanks. Anyway, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us...
Do you really mean that?
Sure, why wouldn't I?
What are you going to do about it?
Doing? Nothing, I guess. I just think it would be kind of neat if you got to control everything down here, like you have it up there.
Have I got control of it?
I go to church.
That's not what I asked you. What about the habit of telling one half the truth? It's the same as lying, you know? When your temper is really becoming a problem, then there's a way you spend all your money all on yourself, and even you suspect that you're feeding your imagination and programming, you know, the videos you've been watching with.
Okay, alrighty. Stop picking on me. I'm just as good as some of the rest of those people. Those phonies at church.
Excuse me. I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If you want my will, it starts with praying for it. In this case, you.
Okay, I guess I do have some problems. In fact, I could probably name some others.
So could I.
I haven't thought about it much till now, but I really would like to cut out some of those things. I'd like to be, well, you know, free.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere more together. Some victories can be truly won. I'm proud of you.
Look, Lord, I really need to finish up here. This is taking a lot longer than it usually does. Okay, where was I? Give us this day our daily bread.
Better cut down some of that bread. You're getting overweight.
Just a minute. What is this? Criticize me day? Here I was doing my spiritual duty, and all of a sudden you break in and remind me of all my problems and shortcomings.
Writing's a dangerous thing. You wind up changed, you know. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. You called me. Here I am. It's too late to stop now. Keep on praying. I'm interested in the next part of your prayer. Well, are you going to finish?
I'm afraid to.
Afraid of what?
I know what you'll say next.
Try me and see.
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What about Dan?
I knew it. See, I just knew you'd bring him up. Why, he's lied to me, cheated me out of some money, and he is the biggest hypocrite around. I won't have anything to do with him, ever.
What about your prayer?
I didn't mean it.
At least you're honest. But it's not fun carrying a load of bitterness around inside you, is it?
No, I'll feel better as soon as I get even with him.
No, you won't. You'll feel even worse. Revenge isn't sweet. Think how unhappy you are already, but I can change all that.
How?
First, forgive Dan. Then all the hate sin will be in his problem, not yours. You lose the money, but it's settled in your heart.
But I can't forgive Dan.
Then how do you expect me to forgive you?
You're always right, aren't you? More than I want to give back Dan what he gave me. I want to be right with you. Okay, I forgive him. I'll leave it up to you to get him back on the right road. Now that I think about it, he's bound to be miserable, going around doing the things he does. Some way, somehow, show him the right way, even if you want me to be part of it.
There, now. Wonderful. How do you feel?
Well, not as bad as I thought.
You're not finished with the prayer now.
Oh, yeah, right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Yes, I'll do that. Just do your best to avoid situations where you'll not be tempted.
What do you mean?
Take a hard look at your friendships. Some of your so-called friends are beginning to get to you. Don't be fooled. They advertise that they're having fun, but you know you can run. Either you're going to have to stop hanging out with them or being a positive influence among them. Don't use me as an escape hatch.
Escape hatch?
You know what I mean. You've done lots of times. You get caught in a bad situation, you get in trouble by not listening to me, and then once you do, come running to me and say, Lord, help me out of this mess, and I promise I'll never do it again. Now you're telling me, you remember me now.
Yes, and I'm ashamed.
Which, bargain I remember.
When Miss Thompson, you know, the woman who lives the two houses down, drove by the 7-Eleven when me and some of my friends were smoking out front. I just knew she recognized me. I told you, oh God, please don't let her tell my mom what she saw. And I promised to stop hanging out with those friends.
Miss Thompson didn't tell your mother. But you didn't keep a promise, did you?
Sorry, Lord, really. Up till now, I thought that if I just prayed the Lord's Prayer every day, then I could do what I like. I didn't expect anything like this to happen.
Go ahead and finish up.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You know what would bring me glory? What would make me really happy?
No, but try me. I really want to know. It's more than that, even. I really want to do whatever it is that pleases you.
You just answered my question.
Huh?
What gives me pleasure is people loving me enough to do my works. And I can tell it's happening now. So now all the old sins are exposed out of the way. There's no telling what we can do together.
Lord, let's see what we can make out of me, okay?
Yeah, let's see.
Okay, now the children will be collecting money for missions this morning while we remain seated and sing from our hymnals, page number 524, Beams of Heaven as I Go. Much we can be thankful for this morning. There are so many joyful things to be thankful for all the blessings we have. We need to remember to thank God for all the wonderful things he does for us. We need to also lift up the people that we're concerned about here at First Church, and they're printed in your bulletin on the back page. It has a little list here that says, please remember me in your prayers. Please put this by your prayer chair, someplace where you pray silently or privately to God and just lift up these people in prayer. It would be good if you'd lift up this church in prayer and your community also. It would be wonderful if we could all lift up the leaders of our church and the small groups that go on. Okay. At this time, let us go to prayer and ask God for his blessings. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful fall day. We praise you for your graciousness and your goodness. We thank you for your might and your power and your sovereignty. We thank you for your mercy, your loving kindness. We especially thank you that you're still the same as you were yesterday. You'll be the same forever. Our knowledge of this helps us put our faith and our trust in you. We thank you for the many answers to prayer that you've given us. We also thank you for the challenges and the struggles that you've helped us through. And we're thankful that through these times we've been strengthened. We ask that you'd help us grow in our spiritual lives and to love you more. We thank you for your written word that gives us instructions for our daily living. And it gives us hope for tomorrow, for we know you have a place for us prepared. We lift up to you this morning those that we're most concerned about among us. We lift up the sick and the hurting. We ask that you give them just what they need this morning. You know each one, and you're able to do more, way more than we could ever ask. Please give them healing and encouragement this morning. We also lift up in prayer our nation, our state, our community, and our church. And we ask for your guidance for our leaders. And we ask for guidance in issues that we're facing. We ask your continued blessings on us. And we pray for the many servicemen that are serving around the world. Give them your hand of protection and your comfort. We know they're facing many hardships so far from home. Help us as your followers to be aware of opportunities to speak to others of your love and your plan for our salvation. We ask you, Lord, to bless in our service this morning as we continue to worship you. Please put your anointing on the message this morning. Open our understanding of your word by your Holy Spirit. Help us learn more about you and apply it to our daily lives. All this we ask and pray in your precious and holy name. Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Jamie. Our scripture for today is taken from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, if you would turn with me in your Bibles, preferably, but if you have your pew Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, for those who may not know, where is the book of Hebrews, in the Old or the New Testament? That's right, New Testament. So turn to more or less the back of your Bible. It's right before the book of James. Hebrews chapter 11. Once you find that, would you close your Bible on your finger and stand with me? Let's raise those Bibles high above our heads and let's say the Bible pledge loud and proud this morning, all right? Here we go. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The writer of Hebrews says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Last week, we began a teaching series on a prayer that over the years has become, for many of us, something that we say on a weekly basis during worship. It's a prayer that Jesus taught His disciples when they asked Him how they should pray. Jesus began the prayer with what? Wow. What did Jesus begin the prayer with? There you go. Our Father. I didn't think that was a trick question. We learned last week that instead of the traditional Jewish way of considering God, which is transcendent or removed, that authoritarian God, the disciplinarian, Jesus wanted the disciples to think of God as a much more personal figure, as Father, as Abba, or we might say as Daddy. As Daddy. So from the very beginning, to say this prayer, you have to believe that you are what? Are you, all right, you're getting better. You have to say this prayer from the very beginning. You have to believe that you are what? There you go, a child of God. Once we establish that, we also realize that Jesus said what? Our Father, right? Our Father. So what does that imply? If we are and we believe that we are a child of God, what does that mean? All of us are a child of God. Each one of you. There we go. That's all the English teachers will text me here during the service. Each one of you is a child of God. So all of us together are in this life together, right? All of us. We're not alone, are we? Yes, no, maybe? Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
All right, thank you. So Jesus said, "Our Father," in other words, I am a child of God and I am not alone. Let's say that. Let's say, I am a child of God and I am not alone. Let's say that together. I am a child of God and I am not alone. Now, I know you were thinking about what you were saying. You know, now you know, so let's say it like you mean it, all right? I am a child of God, and I am not alone. I'm part of a family. You really are part of a family. Each and every one of us are a part of a family. Oh, wait a minute, Eric. My only experience of family is not very good. I don't know if I want to sign up for another family here. I don't know. Well, you know what? I guarantee you, we're raggedy, right? We do things that probably aren't the best. Sometimes we say things that we may not mean to, but they hurt your feelings, right? But you know what? We care for each other, amen? And we do our best to hold each other up, amen? And so we are a family, and this family is to support and defend each other. Have you thought about that? You are to defend each other. Have you ever considered that? As a family, you know, it's interesting, and I see it with my three boys. You know, they can fight, and they can have fights, but when someone outside the family comes in and does something to one of them, guess what the other two do? Don't you mess with my brother. I can pick on him, but you, buddy, you better lay off, right? Yeah, well, that's a little drastic, right? But that's a reality of family. But that's kind of what it's like. We need to defend one another. We need to stick up for one another and have each other's best interests at heart. Remember, the Apostle Paul's letter to 1 Corinthians, specifically chapter 13, is to who? Is to who? Yeah, it's not to all the married people that were in the church. No, it is to the church in Corinth. That is how Christians are to treat one another. You with me this morning? Huh? All right. The family is to lift each other up. I'm going to move on before that gets any worse. The family is to lift each other up in prayer and do all in their power to provide a place of healing and wholeness. Can I get an amen on that one? As Jesus continues his prayer, he says, "Hallowed be your name." Why in the world would Jesus say, "Hallowed be your name"? Now, I don't know about you, but I use "hallowed" in a sentence 4 or 5 times a day. How about you? I don't think John believes me. Oh, yeah, that's right. Same song, second verse, right? Hallowed be your... Well, you know, let's start with this question. What is in a name? What's in a name? You know, in our culture today, most of us, you know, I don't know, when I say Debbie, I don't think about... No, you're not in trouble, don't worry. Her eyes got big on that one. She's always in trouble. Oh, Debbie Irene. Debbie Irene. Now, whenever we say Debbie Irene, we're not thinking, oh, now, wait a minute, that means Debbie Irene. Yeah, that says a lot about the character of Debbie, right? No, we're not thinking that, are we? That's Debbie's name, right? Now, don't get me wrong. When parents name their children, they put a lot of effort in that. At least we did, right? All three of our boys, we picked their names because of not only the meaning of their name, but also people in the family. Our girl, we picked because of specific, beautiful flower of God's creation was what her name meant. Right? We pick very specific, but you know what? Whenever you say David, you don't think, oh, that boy's kingly, do you? That's my middle son, by the way. Yeah, but you know, whenever you talk about David, you don't think, oh man, he's kingly, isn't he? Right? But you know what? In Bible days, that's exactly what they thought. And that's exactly what they meant. The name means the nature, the character, and the personality of the person. Do you understand? So, Jesus says, "Hallowed be your name." That means it's to extend this to God. The name means the nature, the character, the personality of God as they have been revealed to us. Do you understand that? Right? Think about all the biblical characters. They are named specific names. Why? Because that is who they were. Amen? Right. You know, the name means the nature, the character, the personality of God as they have been revealed to us. So what is this Hallowed word all about? This Hallowed word. It's something that we don't use anymore, really, except for maybe this prayer. I mean, honestly, does anyone here use this word for anything other than when you say the Lord's Prayer? No, I didn't think so. Well, the definition is to treat as holy, to hold sacred, to set apart. Now, if you want to get your Bibles out, we just have a few to look at here, Bible verses, and I want to just kind of share with you what this Hallowed and the history of this word Hallowed. Now, you understand that The New Testament is written in Greek, right? The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. Everybody understands that, right? So you can trace this word back through the Hebrew, even though it's two separate, you know, Hebrew and Greek words. Am I confusing anybody there? So in other words, the word that Jesus used, well, actually, Jesus spoke another language, so there's another layer of translation there. But anyway, that you can trace the Greek and the Hebrew back, and it is the same word. If we turn to Exodus 20, verse 8, where God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments, and God says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it," what? Holy. That is the same, you can trace the lineage of that word back through this same word that Jesus uses as hallowed, holy. We also find this word in Leviticus 21:8 in the instructions with regard to consecrating priests. And it says, God is saying, "And you shall treat the priests as holy, since they have offered the food of your God. They shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, I who sanctify you, am holy." Robin would say, "Holy, Batman," but anyway. A lot of holies in that sentence, isn't there? Each of them are the same word. If we were to continue stepping through Scripture, we would see in a clear way that "hallowed be your name" means this. Now, this is kind of sloppy, but this is really what you're saying. When you say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," this is really what you're saying. May you, God, be given that unique reverence which your character and nature and personality as you have revealed them to us demand. That's what you're saying. May you be given that unique reverence which your character and nature and personality as you have revealed them to us demand. You see, one issue with thinking of God as Daddy, like I spoke of last week, is that we might gain a sentimental faith. Oh, isn't that sweet? Right? We might gain a shallow faith. But I have to tell you, this is something the Jews did not have any issue with. Remember how the Jews thought of God? That authoritarian, that transcendent God, that disciplinarian God. And so whenever Jesus said to say, "Our Father," they never had an issue like we might of thinking God and King, Lord of all of creation. They were thinking that and having trouble pulling God close. And sometimes we have just the reverse issue. Reverence, however, for a Jew was never in any danger of being destroyed by sentimentality. Now, the way I've experienced this in my life is the first time I held each of my boys. You know, I don't know if any of you have had that experience with your own children or grandchildren, but you know, whenever, it's interesting if you look at the pictures, you know, there's a lot of pictures, right? And I didn't even realize I was doing this, but I was afraid I'd break them. Anybody else have that? Guys, do you ever have that issue whenever you had children? Afraid you're going to break them, right? They're just tiny little things, right? Yeah. So, you know, whenever I looked in the pictures, I noticed I was looking over the shoulder of somebody that was holding them. In every picture. I never was holding the boys one time in the hospital. I was always looking over someone's shoulder because I was afraid I'd break them, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, now sometimes... No, forget it. Anyway. But, you know, whenever I held my boys, like these two babies right up here, in my arm, I thought, "Oh, God. Praise God. That's hallowed be your name." You understand what I'm saying? Those times whenever God taps me on the shoulder and reminds me what an amazing wife I have, and I look at her, and I'm not brown-nosing here, I'm being honest. I even said this in the first service, didn't I? Yeah. And she wasn't even here, right? So you know, and when God reminds me of what an amazing wife I have, I remember why churches say, "Eric, you can go, but Jamie has to stay." Right? Hallowed be your name. Right? Whenever we go up north, And I never thought I would have a backyard like I do now, which needs mowed right now. But anyway, you know, going up north and hearing a loon off in the distance and seeing the sun setting or rising, whichever it may be. Hallowed be your name. Anybody ever been out on a boat or something and started singing the doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Hallowed be your name. You see, does that make sense what that means? Whenever you lift up God's name as hallowed, hallowed be thy name. You know, I teach, I haven't done it for a while. We probably need to catch up, but God and family and God and me and God and church and God and life. And God and life is a high school version. It's a Boy Scout program of how Boy Scouts can get involved in the church. And a year or so ago, I was teaching a few high school guys. And one of the assignments was that I said, I want you to go home and I want you to watch Passion of the Christ. And when you come back, we'll talk about it. Well, in good high school boy fashion, they waited till the night before to do it. And I wish I could say I planned it that way, but you know what? It was a good thing that they did, because when they walked in the office, I could tell immediately it was right there. I mean, that movie's hard to leave anyway, isn't it? Right? But it was right there. I mean, they were hot and they had questions from the very beginning. And we were talking about atonement, right? And forgiveness and acceptance and all those terms. And we were talking about how Jesus died for those men who so brutally whipped Jesus. And we're getting to the cross, and I said something like, you know those guys that pulled his arm out of the socket? I don't know if you remember how graphic that is. I mean, they yanked his arm out of the socket and started putting a nail in. And one of the guys says, oh my gosh, you're telling me Jesus died for them? His face was red because that epiphany went off in his life. It was an aha moment for him because he finally understood Jesus died for them as well. Hallowed be your name. When we're worshiping in this service, and most of us, if not all of us, are on that wave, do you want to have a preacher worship God? Whenever that preacher feels your energy riding that wave of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. We could go on and on, but those are some ways that help me understand what that phrase means. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One thing that just came to mind whenever I was a kid and a calf had be born. How many here have seen that happen? And you know, whenever the calf is trying to get its legs under it, and its back legs are standing up, and its front legs are still down here on the ground, and it's wobbling all over the place. Hallowed be thy name. Jesus said, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. As we pray this, how do we understand this sacredness that I'm just talking about? The idea of setting apart, this reverence that we need to have in our hearts of who God is. You know, it's interesting. There's one basic prerequisite, if I could speak, in all this that is so obvious that quite honestly, we probably have missed it, all of us. Because if we turn to our scripture for today, Hebrews 11:6, and we reread it, it goes like this. Now listen, stick with me. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Isn't that simple? I mean, that is so obvious that you can read right over it, not even think about it, right? But think about that. For whoever would approach God must believe that God exists, amen, and that He rewards those who seek Him. In other words, there can be no such thing as reverence without two basic beliefs. First, that God exists. And second, that God is interested in the attitude and actions of people toward each other. Man, it gets right back down to I am a child of God and I am not what? Alone. I am a child of God and I am not what? Let's say it all together. I am a child of God and I am not alone. It gets right back to that. Amen. Amen, brother. You see, the basic premise of the Bible is that God exists. Nowhere in the Bible does it try to prove that God exists. Why? Why do you do something so obvious? God exists. Why do we have to prove it? Right? That's the whole premise of the Bible. It's about God and humanity and that relationship with creation. The Bible never tries to prove God's existence. And that brings us to today's sermon title. And I'm sure that each and every one of you are waiting on pins and needles to see how I bring this home. I can just tell. The axiom. Does anyone know what the axiom is? Any mathematicians? You've already heard it. Don't. Any mathematicians out there? Well, an axiom is a self-evident or universally recognized truth, a maxim, an established rule, principle, or law. A self-evident principle or one that is accepted as true without proof as the basis for argument, a postulate. You see, in Scripture, God is the axiom. Do you hear what I'm saying today? God is the axiom. God's existence is the basic fact of life. The biblical writers would have said that they don't need to prove the existence of God any more than they need to prove the existence of their spouse, or any more than they need to prove the existence of a friend. God was involved with their life. God was and is the axiom in their lives and in ours. So how do we express this reverence for the God who exists and the God who is personally interested in us? Once again, as we have learned with the fact that we are a child of God and that we are not alone, we find that our outward walk and our conversation should continually show the inward reverence. Do you follow me there? Since from your life of reverence, others are moved to reverence in God. Follow me? An easy way to put this. Let's say I'm at a football game on Friday night. And I get aggravated at a call. Now, I know this never happens. What are you looking at, Sarah? And I let my opinion be known. Right? Anybody ever been to a football game? I am kind of a loudmouth. And you know that. Right? Positive, but a loudmouth. All right? Now, let's say I say something off color, though. Someone sitting right down the bleacher there is going to say, man, now I know why I don't go to his church. Now, did any of you have anything to do with that at all? Well, then what are they blaming you for? Do you hear what I'm saying? When we go out and live in the world and people see us and hear us and they go, geez, now I know why I'm not a Christian. When we say things that we shouldn't, when we do things that we shouldn't, when we're in places that they believe we shouldn't be, right? Now I know why I'm not a Christian. Well, shoot, that's just in the United Methodist Church, that's 9 million people in the United States, right? That doesn't include all the other denominations that are Christians, right? I mean, talk about, but we don't ever do that, do we? We never look at a group of people and one person does something really stupid. Oh, geez, now I know why I don't ever associate with them. We don't ever say that, do we? Huh? Yeah. So you know, the point is, the way we live our life, whether we like it or not, when we bring reverence to God, guess what other people do? Man, I got to have some of that. What is that all about? Come on, talk to me, man. Right? I'm sure each of you have had that happen. How can you be so happy whenever your mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, cousin, whatever, is dying of cancer? How can you be so confident in your faith? We find that our outward walk and conversation should continually show the inward reverence, since from your life of reverence, others are moved to reverence in God. Amen. You see, it must be lived and demonstrated in every moment of our lives, both in the church and in the world. Now I want to lift something up here, and you've heard me say it before. You see, what I believe about coming to church, I believe it's a lot like going to AA. What happens when you go to AA? My name is Eric Dirks, and I am an alcoholic. But you know what? When we come to church, we proclaim, my name is Eric Dirks, and I am a sinner. Amen? Thank you for not being too proud of that. Forgiveness, yeah. But you put your name in there. I am, let's say that together. And you put your name in there. So we're going to say, I am your name. No, you don't say your name. I know there's going to be some of you that will say that. Put your God-given name in there and say a sinner. All right, let's say it together. My name is Eric. There we go. My name is Eric, and I am a sinner. You understand what I'm trying to say now in my confused state? Let's try it again. My name is Eric, and I am a sinner. That's what we're proclaiming when we come here, and we're saying, dear God, help me overcome my sins. Help me have energy and power in my life to make good decisions, right? Help me, God, lift up your name in reverence. Help me say, hallowed be your name, God, and actually mean it. That's what we come to church for. And unfortunately, some people judge us and say, man, I don't want to go to that church. Look at what that preacher did. Right? Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Our reverence and our lifting up God's name to be hallowed attracts other people, because guess what? They want what we have. Holy God, you are amazing. You are awesome. There is no word, God, that can describe who you are. And so as we lift up your name to be praised, as we lift up your name and do our best to praise you in a hallowed way, God, help us. May your Spirit be the power behind our words. May your Spirit be the power behind our actions. May we live reverent lives, giving you glory and power. And may your amazing grace wash over us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, would you please stand as we sing How Great Thou Art together? I think you all know this song, so let's sing it loud today. Let the Baptist down the street even hear us maybe, all right? I
Worship this morning by the giving of our tithes and our offerings. May the ushers please come forward.
we ask that you help us let the rest of the world know. We ask your blessing on this offering. May it go to further your gospel. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Our closing song is number 672, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. Let's sing the first and last verse.
So very much for being here today. My prayer is that you felt God's presence as we worship together. I do have a couple special things. Youth are going bowling tonight. If you have a youth in your family or as a grandchild or great-grandchild, make sure you let them know. Meet here at 5:45, $5 plus any food money that they may want. Also, don't forget, if you didn't turn in your connection card, to let us have those so we can greet you. And I can already smell the chicken. So don't forget Lunch Bunch, folks. It will be good and fun. Go from this place knowing that you are a child of God. As a matter of fact, let's say that together. I am a child of God, and I am not alone. Can we say amen on that?
Amen.
Go from this place in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and may you experience God's shalom this week. Amen.